Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to each and everyone. Happy Monday. Thank God for this day. This is the day that the Lord have made, and I trust and I pray that you would do as I do. We would give praise and honor to the Lord. This is the day God have made, and I found out life is a choice. Even after we get born again, it's a choice. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 19th verse, that we have to choose who we going to serve. And so there too, again, I don't know about you, but I choose every day to rejoice. And I had to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Once you get born again, we go through a time where we'll forever be in a learning process. There's no one have the final revelation on any of the scriptures. That's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But I choose and I have learned how to rejoice, because the Bible tells us that Jesus said he'll never leave us nor will he forsake us. So there too, again, we can rest assurance. And the way we get a blessed assurance when it comes down to the things of God is to read his word. I can't stress that enough. And I don't know about you, but I'm learning that I need to read more. And that's something I'm training myself more, regardless to what I'm dealing with or what's going on in my life. I have to make and find time to get in God's word, because the Bible tells us that God watch over his word to perform it. That's what God told Jeremiah when he chose Jeremiah, were revealing to Jeremiah that he had called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And God let Jeremiah know. He said, I hate to perform my words. And that's something. God is true to his word. You know, a lot of time, you can say that, but if you don't know what God's word said, especially in the midst of trouble, adversity, or persecution, or whatever you may be experiencing, if you don't know for certain what God has said, if you haven't put your eyes on it, then you don't really have nothing to stand on. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good that listen at what your man or woman God say, but even with that, make sure that they showing you in the scriptures so you can go back and retrace, and or better yet, follow up on what they say. Because I'm telling you, in Matthew, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was being tempted, and y'all, temptation going to come to all of us, but Jesus was a living example through his life. And, you know, he taught us how to deal with temptation. And there too, again, when we being tempted and we living in an hour at a time, it's so many things going on. We, you know, with the election, and it's just so many things going on. And you got, and I find out a lot of people is upset, and you got a lot of people, they upset, they saying all kind of things. But I don't expect, I say this all the time, I don't expect the world to act like believers. But I don't expect the believers to act like the world. We have God's word. We have in God's word, the Bible tells us that God's word is a sure word. It's a true prophecy, a sure prophecy. And there too, again, as I stated, it's so important to make and find time to read your word. And when you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment and understanding to it. And revelation, and I'm a witness that he would do it. But read your word. You know, I understand it better now. My former leaders that gone on is with the Lord now, they used to always tell us, read your Bible, read your Bible. Make sure you make time every day to read your Bible. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, I hadn't been too long been saved, and sometimes I said, well, if you got this to do, why do I need to be reading the word? But my spiritual eyes had really came open to realize everything that's happening on this earth, God had not already told us in his word it was going to happen. But he also told us how to endure, how to overcome, to conquer, to be victorious in spite of everything that's happening. Amen. We was on Thursday. We talked about continue to renew your mind, and we've been on that for a while. I've been on it ever since the beginning of this month. We start talking about wherever your mind is, your body will follow. Wherever, and that is so important. You know, they used to say Uncle Sam, or some people would say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I promise you, wherever your mind is, your body will follow. Whatever you sit around and meditate on, ponder in your mind, your words in your body gonna follow that. Because the Bible said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So there too, again, we're gonna continue with this. On Thursday, we was in our first scripture was Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 19th verse, and Proverbs 18:14, James 4:7-10, 1 Peter 5:6-9, and we talked about, like I said, Matthew 4, when Jesus was being tempted, how did Jesus respond to the temptation? And we're going to start today. We're going to start in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I tell you, I'm seeing more the reality. Let me put it this way. The reality of it, I need to read. That's right. I need to read, not just because I'm an apostle. No, I need to read because I am a child of Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And at that time, he was addressing what we eat, and he was addressing our thought based upon the necessary things of life. Seeking out God's way of doing things, it'll cause provision to show up for you. Now, don't get me wrong. God, our creator, and if you haven't been born again, he's God to you. But if you've been born again, he is your heavenly father. God gonna always make provide provision. You know, he going to do that because the Bible said he let it rain on the just and the unjust. You know, all of us came from God. God created mankind. I don't care what people say. You hear a lot of people say, well, we came from a monkey. I don't believe I came from no monkey, you know. And there too again, if you don't get in this Bible study, and I have some people say, well, Prophet Miller, I read it, but I don't understand it. If you really, now if you ain't saved, this Bible ain't going to make sense to you. It ain't going to make sense to your five senses because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. But you see, if you ain't born again, according to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, your spirit is dead. And your spirit have to be open before you can connect with God. Because God is a spirit, and Jesus said that he is a spirit, and we that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Jesus even said the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. So there too again, if you ain't been born again, this Bible, inside of you, you know it's something more powerful than man. That kind of knowing, because that's in Romans, the 1st chapter, because the way God created the world to let you know that if someone is more powerful than man. But once you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, the Bible will begin to make sense to you, you know. So there too again. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to continue with this. I think I'm still talking about renewing your mind, the value of renewing your mind. It is so important. It is so important because I found out once I got saved, I had a lot of questions. I think I shared that on Thursday. I had a lot of question marks. And as I began to inquire the Lord began to speak to me through his words. and to let me know. And the thing that really changed my life, when the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I have a choice. And he revealed to me that by having a choice, he let me know I had a will. He told me I was spirit, soul, and body. Then he began to break it down to me that my soul consists of my mind, will, and emotion. When he broke that thing down to me about my soul, he said that my soul consists of my will, my mind, my will, my emotion. My mind is what I think. My will is what I desire and want. My emotion is what I feel. Then I found out when I got saved, God gave me a new spirit. He didn't give me a new soul. Man is consist of spirit, soul, and body. Well, he began to break all that down, but he really broke down to me the soul is in between the spirit and the body. Now, before Adam and Eve sinned, the spirit, man, God always intended for his spirit to dominate. Now, that word dominate don't mean that God forced you to do anything. That's why the will is in there. And even before I came on, I was thinking about Adam and Eve when God told them what not to do. God told them what not to do, but God then forced them not to do it. You know, and that's something when you think about it because, you know, I know God is sovereign. But when God gave us a will, and I done said this before at times, I used to say, I don't know why he gave us a will. But the point that I wanted to make, when he said in Genesis, the first chapter, when he made them in his likeness and in his image, he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. Like I said, God gave man and woman a will, and God told them what not to do. He told them what not to do. And in Genesis, the second chapter, I believe it is, in that 15 verses, yes, it is, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, right there, God commanded them. He told them what to do, but they had a choice. And this something, as I said, when God revealed to me that I had a will, that change, or better yet, my whole life would transform because I found out that God ain't going to force me. God ain't going to make me do anything. No, he's not. And he's not going to make you. Now, the enemy will put pressure on you, and he'll try to force you to do something. He'll try to drive. He'll torment you and all that. But God don't do none of that. That's why it's so important that once you get in the Word and renew your mind and you find out what God says, you'll be able to discern the voice of God, the voice of Satan, and your own fleshly desires. The flesh is the interest of the enemy. But we ain't going to get in all that right now because I want to stay focused on the soul, the soulish. Now, our soul is selfish. Like I said, when you got born again, God did not give us a new soul. We didn't get a new mind, a new will, and a new emotion. We didn't get that. We kept the same. But we got God's spirit came in our spirit. Now, some people, that's where the Holy Ghost. And everything God do, God reveal everything to our spirit. He don't reveal it to our flesh. And everything come through the soul. God revealed it to our spirit, come through the soul. But there too, again, that's why it's so important. We're going to continue with this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over the airways. I thank you, Father, for those that have tuned in. I cover each and every individual. I plead the blood of Jesus over their mind. I bind up every spirit of detraction, bind up image that will try to interfere. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit right now. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is going to bring enlightenment, understanding, and revelation. We thank you. We praise you for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As I stated, again, the soul is consists of your mind, will, and emotion. With my mind is what I think, my will, what I desire and want. Emotion, what I fear. And as I stated, the soul is selfish. That's why a lot of time, once you get born again, if you don't get that mind and keep your mind renewed, that's how a lot of time, y'all, we can override the voice of God. God can be telling us something through the Holy Spirit to do, and where God and the Holy Spirit is one, and be telling us what to do, and we are still do what we want to do. And the more word we get in our soul, listen at me good, the word will transform the soul. The more word we get in, that's why God told Joshua, before Joshua even went into battle, where, you know, after Moses died, Joshua took over. Joshua, God chose a man. But God gave Joseph specific instruction in the beginning, before he took over, to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And he told them to be strong and very courageous. He told him to meditate in his word day and night. And he said, by meditate in the word day and night, he will be able to observe to do it. And that's why it's so important. You know, I was at this church and we ministered yesterday, and Jesus said, if you're going to follow after me, you got to deny yourself. You know, and I find out in my walk with the Lord, you got to discipline yourself. Jesus told the disciple, if any man follow after me, he said, let him deny himself. If you know anything about yourself, you know, you don't want to deny yourself. You want what you want, how you want it, when you want it. Now, I learned that, you know, and there too, again, that's why I thank and pray. I love the Holy Spirit, because through God's word, God revealed to me things about me that I didn't know. You know, a lot of times, I know me. Well, you know you better than anybody else, but it's some things about yourself you don't really know. But I promise you, when you get born again, when you receive Jesus, your Lord, you're going to find out some things about you that you didn't know. But anyway, you know, because a lot of times we'll make the statement, I never do that. And then certain things come up, or certain things happen in your life, and you find yourself doing the very thing you say you would never do. But what I like about being born again, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me the things about me that I didn't know. One of my mentors preached a sermon one time. He said, you and you that you don't know. And like I said, you know, I said, oh, I know Ann. I know I ain't no way I do that. Ain't no, and since I've been born again, it's things in my life, in my soul, that I didn't know about me. Okay? But anyway, I don't want to just stay right there, but there too again. Like I said, the soul is selfish. We have to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit instead of our soul. A soul that have not been renewed, or better yet, converted. A soul that haven't been converted, and it don't still want to do. That's why a lot of times, once you get saved, if you don't get in the word and meditate on that word, you will find yourself doing some of the same things you did before you got saved. And that's a sign that your mind have not been renewed. Because if you get in the word and renew your mind daily and meditate on that word, you will find yourself doing what that word say. And there too, again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get on with, if you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians, the 10th chapter, because that's what we said we were going to start today. There too, again, like I said, our spirit, we're three-part being. Our spirit, we relate to God. Our soul, we relate to God in his creation. And our body, we relate to creation. That's what it is. And like I said, when Adam and Eve died, their spirit died. And I'm telling you, without Christ, there is no life. That's why when we receive Christ, the Bible said he came to give us life, giving more. Before we get born again, we are really just dead. We just walk around here doing anything that it's old folks that you think you big enough to do. Amen. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter in that 10th verse. And there too again, Thursday we talked about the power of choice. And there too again, you have to choose daily. Believe it or not, daily, you and I choose whether we want to obey God or don't. We choose whether we're going to go to work. Now, the Lord will wake you up. But you choose whether you're going to get up out of that bed and whether you're going to close yourself if you have a job that you're going to attend that job. That's your choice. Come on, somebody. You do that. You know, now some people, they choose not to live and they commit suicide. But it's the truth. You know, some people choose not to live even though God wants them to live. Always remember God wants you to live. Now, some might say, well, Prophet Miller, why all these people dying and all of that? Listen, I don't have all your answers, but I promise you, some people death is self-afflicted. Now, I don't have all the answers, but the Bible tell me that Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundant. The Bible tell me, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus paid a ransom price for you and I to live. But as I stated, God do not force us or make us do anything. And if you right now, why are we in this teaching? If you right now was to sit down and think about it, life is full of choices and you choose. Like I said, Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, 19th verse, he read, you choose. Joshua said on one occasion, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose. You choose every day. Like I said, whether you're going to get up and go to work, that's your choice. The Lord, even if you got a job, when the alarm clock, or either the Lord, before it go off, a lot of times the Lord wake me up. And I can choose to lay there in that bed, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I the thought, you need to get up. You got this to do today. You got this. Or sometimes when I first get up, I read my Bible, and I do some reading. I do some meditate. I pray in my prayer language. Now, sometimes it being that I wake up, and I don't want to pray in my prayer language. I don't want to read. And sometimes I say, I'm just going to do nothing today. And there too again, your body gonna line up with your thoughts and what you say. You open your mouth, you take a thought by speaking it, but it gonna line up with it. And that's why Matthew the 6th chapter, one of the scriptures said, take no thought for your life. And y'all, you take a thought by speaking it. Amen. Okay. In Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. I told you we were gonna start at Ephesians 6 and I'm gonna probably be reading from maybe the New International or the New American Standard, and I'll probably read it also from the Amplify. You know, the Amplify break the word down from the Hebrew and the Greek. It'll break it down for you so you'll really understand it a little better. And there too again, you have a part to play. Now, just like now, you that decide to tune into this broadcast, you can right now, you can either choose to listen at what I believe God would have me to share with you, or you can choose to change the channel or turn it off. That's your choice. Come on, somebody. And see, there too again, one thing about flesh that I learned about my soul, you know, my soul don't want to be responsible for my action. We do not want, a lot of people, they don't want to be responsible for their action. They're going to want to always blame somebody else. Whatever happened to them, if they don't blame God, they're going to blame the devil. They don't blame the devil, they're going to blame you. But when it comes now to themselves, they don't want to say, I did it. Come on, somebody. And when the Holy Spirit begins to show that about me, you have a choice in the matter. You can choose to do what God say, or you can choose not to do. But I found out by reading God's word, if I choose to violate the laws and principles of God, I'm going to suffer the consequences. Just like in the natural, his laws, it's natural laws. Now, one law I use a lot of time, it's against the law of the land for you to drive without a license, a drive a car without insurance. But now a lot of time, a lot of people don't experience the repercussion of it until they get caught. But even though that law, but in the spirit realm, the moment we violate those spiritual laws, believe it or not, you might not, the effect of it is not tangible, but I promise you, soon or later, you would see the results of it. But when you violate them, you do suffer the consequences. I found out God don't just, every day the Lord don't decide when you and I miss it, violate his laws. He said, okay, I need to go on today. No, God did everything in the beginning. God did everything in the beginning based upon what's going to take place on this earth, how we supposed to operate, the consequences, all of that already established before I got here and you got here. But in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, I'm going to start at that 10th verse because I want us to know, you need to know that because you are three-point being, spirit, soul, and body, the real world is the spirit world. A lot of people don't realize that. God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. Demons is a spirit. Angels is a spirit. But the way they can manifest themselves in a way that you know that something done took place. And sometimes it's tangible. Sometimes you can feel the effect of God, better yet, the presence of God, or the presence of it, by, it can be tangible sometimes. But there to, again, and really to know, you need to know what the words are. So this one, like I said, I ain't going back up what I did because we talked about in James, what James said, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. The Bible tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. See, all of that, we went over that. But with Ephesians, the 10th chapter, now the King James Version, it said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the devil is not that little. See, I was always told the devil had horns. He was a little red man with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. That is not true. That was not true, but that's the way it was taught to me as a child. And I believed that all the way up into my adult stage, and I had to learn through the word of God about the devil. Some said Satan, well, devil, Satan, and Lucifer is the same. Okay, but it said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, y'all, I'm telling you, if the reality of that, if the reality of that right there ever get in you, if you really embrace that right there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principality, against powers, against ruler of this darkness, this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. If the reality of that ever get in you, I promise you a lot of this murder, a lot of this hatred and bitterness, in division and scribe, it'll be done away with. Because you don't realize, because we can be influenced. Well, let me go somewhere. Ephesians, the second chapter. I wasn't planning to go there, but I'm going to go there. And I know sometimes it takes a long time, but I be wanting you to put your eyes on it because you need to see this. You need to have a sure word. So you know what? The Bible said it. Now, I know a lot of people debate whether the Bible is God. I don't do that. I don't waste my time on that. That's foolishness. Because the Bible said men was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible. God inspired men to write it. And a lot of them men that wrote it, they gone. They are gone. And I tell you, from my view, from what I'm aware, everything they said is coming to pass. But anyway, in Ephesians, the second chapter, I want you to see this. It's the, if you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you ain't born again, it's a spirit of disobedience working in you, and that spirit is causing you to rebel and fight against the very God that created you. Now, this the word right here. Now, I thank God for this. Listen, I'm going to read them first three verses. The first three. I want you to hear this because you need to get this settled once and for all. People can be influenced by the devil. Yes, they can. And I found out once I got saved, I can be influenced by the Spirit of God. I can be influenced by the devil. And a lot of people say, I don't believe all that. Say, okay. Now, some people say, y'all don't need to talk about the devil. Listen, I'm exposing him. Listen, the Bible said God would not have us to be ignorant of Satan's device. You need to know you have an enemy. I wonder why people go in the military and they train them for battle. They even reveal and talk to them about their enemy and give them certain strategies. But you got some people you don't need to talk about the devil. You're giving him praise. I ain't giving him no praise. I'm exposing him. He already defeated. But let me tell you, the way he presents himself a lot of times, if you don't have God's word and you ain't renewed your mind, he'll have you believing that God don't care, God don't love you. I ain't getting no help up in here. Don't nobody care about you and all that stuff going through your little pity party. He'll do that. But it said, and you have the quicker who were dead in trespass and sin, who was dead. Where in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among who also we all had our conversation in time past. Now, he wrote this epistle to believers, those that have been born again, but he wanted us to know we one time had our life. We were walking around him being influenced by the spirit that work in the spirit of disobedience. He wants us to know that. But now since we've been born again, we don't operate like that. Among whom also we all had, he said all, including himself. He's among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. You see, it said mind. And flesh, your desires, your flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, then fast forward, when we go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and that 10th verse, he said, now finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wise of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood ain't my problem. It's that spirit that's working in them. If they haven't been born again, and if they've been born again, that spirit that is influencing them. Come on, somebody. Oh, this good word. This is good word. Now, I'm going to look at the American, I'm look at the New American Standard, and it said in that 12th verse, It said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against Well, we had a little interruption. We got to fix that. Excuse me for the interruption. But anyway, but it said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual force of weakness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that ye may be able to resist in the evil days, and having done everything to stand firm, standing firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, he go on, he talk about the armor, but I wanted you to see, he letting us know, you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. You dealing with spiritual beings. Come on, somebody. Like I said, this is so important. Now, I'm going to go. Lord, I tell you. I'm going to go. Well, we'll do that. We'll go. I'm going to stick with something. Okay, Father, we're going to do that. Okay. Like I said, Christians need to know that we are engaged in spiritually conflict with evil. The spiritual conflict. And y'all listen, the only way we do have the victory. See, I don't fight from a place of trying to get victory. I fight from a place of victory. Now, the enemy of our soul won't try to convince us we don't have the victory, and he do about what we see and what we feel versus what we want. And there too, again, that's why it's so important to get your mind renewed. Okay, let's go. And like I said, we need to know the spirit conflict, it is described as the warfare of faith. See, my faith, now the Bible tells us, Romans the 12th, God then gave all of us the measure of faith. Now we all have faith. If you've been born again, we have the kind of faith that will call us not only to communicate with God, but the kind of faith that will call us to fight against these spiritual beings, because you can't use natural weapons. And a lot of people be trying to use natural weapons to solve a spiritual problem. It don't work that way. You need to know what weapon you need to know what to use when it's spirit, and what to use when it's natural. Now, for example, I have to pay a mortgage. Now, when it's time to pay them, I can't say, well, God gonna pay this bill. Now, God do provide, but this is the point I'm here. I have to use a natural source. I have to use money. I have it drafted to make sure I get it paid. You understand what I'm saying? Because we got to know which is which. Like I said, what I said in the beginning, remember what I said in the beginning, our body, our flesh communicate with, remember, I said the body communicate with the creation. Remember, I said the spirit relate to God. And the soul relate to God as well as our creation. But there too, again, this is what Paul was saying. And I'm telling you, some of you got to know, okay, I'm in a spiritual battle. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Y'all, I'm telling you, if you really get this knowledge or understanding in revelation, I tell you, you'll be able to recognize when the enemy bringing strife in the home, when he bringing division, misunderstanding. You'll be able to recognize it, and you'll be able to use the weapon. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 10:4. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. I like some Paul said, I'm going to start at the third verse. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, he's telling that our warfare is against spirit, the force of weakness. That's what Ephesians 6 and 12 says. Therefore, carnal weapons such as human talent, wealth, organization, organizing ability, eloquence, and all that, y'all, it don't pull down no stronghold of Satan. The only weapon that is able to destroy the forces of Satan, unrighteousness and falsity of those which God have given. That's the weapon of power. They are spiritual weapons. I don't like so-and-so. So-and-so said this and so-and-so said this. Once you become a student of the word, you find out it's the spirit that influencing them that is causing this strife, this bitterness, this hatred against you. Come on, somebody. Oh, that's what he's saying. That's why I said I want you to see it, because, and I, like I said, I'm not going to rush through this, because I'm telling you, you need to get your mind renewed. Come on, somebody. And listen, nobody is exempted. We all, listen at me, we all, when I say all of us can be influenced if we ain't careful. And that's why once we get a knowledge and understanding about who we are and who we fight against, and get a knowledge and an understanding of our weapons, and this is what Paul was telling them. You ain't right, though you walk in the flesh, but your warfare is not in the flesh. It's spiritual beings that you fight against. But my faith, listen, faith will cause me not only to target, but bind up these spiritual forces. Amen. Now I'm gonna read that in 2 Corinthians the 10th chapter, and I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna read that second verse and that third verse from the Amplified. He said, I entreat you when I do come to you that I may not be driven to such boldness as I intend to show towards those few who suspect us of acting according to the flesh, on the low level of the worldly motives, and as invested with only human power. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapon of our warfare are not physically weapons of flesh and blood, but they are minded before God for the overthrowing and the destruction of strongholds. You see what he said? He's telling us right there. And Paul is making, you remember when Timothy said how fought a good fight? Remember when Timothy said that I fought a good fight, I kept the faith? Because Paul, forgive me. Remember when Paul said that? And Paul said that based upon, he found out that it was spiritual beings that he had to fight against. He found that out. In 1 Timothy, if you had your Bible, you can go to it in 1 Timothy, the 18th verse. And at this time, he was sharing with Timothy that he had to do, through the prophecy that had been given to him, he had to do warfare. And I'm telling y'all, you got a lot of people mad. You got the spirit of Christ. It done brought division in the body of Christ. And y'all, it's just crazy. And some of you mad at everybody, but you ain't putting the blame on the right one. Boy, the time's going fast. But anyway, like I said, we have to continue until we enter the light. As long as we on this earth, until we leave here to go be with the Lord, if we born, you going to be a part in dealing with spiritual warfare. I'm telling you. And if you don't get your mind renewed, please hear me, if you don't get your mind renewed, you is not going to experience the peace or experience the victory that Jesus came and won for you. That's why it's so important, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. But listen, we as believers, our victory have been secured by Christ himself through his death on the cross. Jesus waged a triumphant battle against Satan. He disarmed evil powers and authority of the weak one. Now you would think, and I used to think this now, if Jesus done already won the battle, why I have to fight now? But because this is a fallen world. That's why it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But we have to fight. But some of you find the wrong person. Some of you find your spouse, your wife, your children. But if they've been influenced by an invisible being that they don't even know. See, that's why we... Well, let me go back to 2 Corinthians. Let me go back to 2 Corinthians. It said, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? Now, some people got different, they got different, but for what God showed me, and I said this all the time, the knowledge, my revelation and understanding ain't defiled. But what God showed me, you can have strongholds in your soul. That's why some people still dealing with strongholds from their past. They can't seem to get over. Some of you can build a stronghold in your mind when it comes down to offenses, unforgiveness. The more you meditate on it, the stronger it gets. You're thinking about what this one did to you, what this one did to you. And see, all of that ain't even worth your time. Because see, the Bible tells us that we don't forgive those that trespass. And a lot of times, y'all, from time to time, I find myself being, the Holy Spirit having me continue to repeat this about unforgiveness. I truly believe unforgiveness is at its highest peak right now in the body of Christ. I mean, bitterness and hatred on the earth, it's at its highest peak, murder. I mean, I was thinking this morning, I said, my sibling was conversating earlier. And just to think how people can just kill you, cold-blooded, just kill you and don't have no remorse. You think about so much of hatred and bitterness in their heart that they can do that. And that's demonic. At the root of every murder, every rape, molestation, incest, the root of it is demonic. The devil is at the root of it. He at the root of it. I'm telling you now, if you don't want to believe it, that's between you and your God. But y'all, he at the root of it. Now, Jesus said in John 10, the last one, he said, the thief come but to steal, kill and destroy, but I came that you would have life, have it more abundantly. And that's why I say it is important. You need to know who your enemy is. Yeah, if somebody, and I watch this, I know this. When people ain't saved, they are, man, they can be influenced 24/7 by the enemy to mistreat you. I found out when I got saved with people in my family at that time, they wouldn't say, and every time look around, they were lying on me, they were complaining about me. It was something all the time. It was always, and this, she ain't this, she ain't doing this, she act like she's safe, she ain't all that safe, and if not that, she thinks she holier than, it was always something. And when and I would just cry, yes, I would, it would just hurt me to my heart, and the Lord opened my eyes up. It had me to go read Ephesians, the sixth chapter, from that 10th verse. And when it said that you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood, and when the reality of that came open, And as I continued to study the word, then he took, I said, to Ephesians the 7, and he let me know the spirit of disobedience working in them. And they don't even know the enemy is influencing them. But then he began to show me as a born-again believer my authority and how I'm supposed to respond. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I tell you, let's go to Matthew. Where I want to go? Let's go to Matthew 12 and 29 real quick. Let's go to that. I have some other scripture, but he's taking me in another way. But I tell you, this is a month. You need to really get this in, established in you. Matthew 12, 29. You said Matthew 12, 29. Okay. Matthew 12. Well, my time is about up, and I really ain't got into what I want. Matthew 12 and 29. Now, according to Matthew 12, 29, probably my last scripture for today, he was saying when Jesus cast out the devil, and they were saying that he had used Beelzebub, which is Satan, and he would let them know, I will read the 28th verse, he said, but if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God have come upon you. Or else how can one enter to a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? He would let them know, he was saying Satan was a strong man. But in order to go into Satan's kingdom, and spoil his good, you got to be stronger than him. So God was saying, Jesus was saying in this particular, I'm stronger than Satan. In other words, what you saying, Prophet Miller? The Bible said, John said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Other words, the power of darkness that coming against you and I that want to influence our loved ones, causing people to fight against us, the Spirit of God is stronger in us than it is in them. Other words, it let us know we have victory over them. Now, if we go to Luke 10 and 18, I'm thinking I sneak another one in there, Luke 10 and 18. I'm going to try to sneak another one in Luke 10 and 18. I'm going to skip the 18th verse, read the 19th verse. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpent and scorpion and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy hurt you. He's telling you that you and I have the authority. And just when it was said, when the 70 came back and they were rejoicing. Well, according to Mark the 16th chapter, God, if you're born again believer, God then gave you and I authority over these evil forces, these evil spirits that want to influence people, that want to interfere in our provision, in our life, on our job. We have the authority. But you will never know that unless you get in the Word and find out what God say about you, who you are, and what Jesus done did for you, if you don't get in the Word and read the Word. Now, I'm going to have to close. I got to close. But this is so important. Please read your Bible. It's different translation. I like the Amplified, the King James, and the Living. Them the two I read a lot, you know. But get in here and read this word. Find out. Because I'm telling you, when you're dealing with so much, when you're dealing with bitterness, hatred, and strife, and division, you need to know who at the root of it. And once you come into the knowledge of who at the root of it, you can better overcome it. You can, it's easy to forgive. Now, sometimes I have to wrestle with it, but y'all, it's easy. Once you know, wait a minute, Satan at the root of this hand. That ain't that person. And then you can pray. You can do what Jesus said. After he said forgive, but he said love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despise for you shit. He done said talk about them. He done said sit around and meditate on what they done did. And I'm telling you, We got the divorce rate is high. It's sad a lot of times couples get divorced. They hate one another. They got so much of bitterness and resentment. And then sometimes they can't go on and get in another relationship because of their past. I got to stop. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for your word. I give you praise. I give you honor and glory for it. I thank you for those that tune in. I pray even after we go off the air that, Father, you will bring even more knowledge and understanding to them. But we come against every demonic spirit. I bind strong man Satan that is operating in the people mind when it comes down to bitterness, resentment, and strife. I bind it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I pray and trust that the word was a blessing to you. And listen, we're going to continue on Thursday. That's it, the Lord willing. Enjoy the rest of your day.